We read the Holy Scriptures this morning in Revelation 22, the last chapter of the Bible. Revelation 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The text that we consider this morning is verses 12 and 13. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, beginnings and ends are part of our experience, an integral part of our experience, in fact, as human beings living in the midst of the world, as creatures. For anyone or anything that is a creature is subject to time. Only God, Only the Creator of heaven and earth is above time and outside of time. And it is only true of God that there is no beginning and no end. But with all who are creatures, including you and me, there is a beginning and there is an end, at least in regard to this present life. Beginnings and ends are part of our experience in the world. There was a beginning to the year of our Lord 2016. Last January was that beginning. And now we're coming close to the end of this year. And in this month, December, the year 2016 will come to an end. And so once again, we've experienced a beginning and an end. As we have been travelers on this planet, so to speak, we've taken another journey around the sun and almost completed the circuit once again. We complete that circuit many times throughout our lives, that circuit of the earth around the sun. The scripture says 70 or 80 years, or perhaps 40 years, 70 or 80 years, 70 or 80 times in our lives, perhaps, if it is God's will, we complete that circuit around the sun. We experience a beginning and an end of a year. That unit of time built into the creation itself, determined by the earth's traveling around the sun. As humans, we also experience the beginning of life itself as well as the end. We were born and we will die. As we come close to the end of another year, it is fitting then for us to consider this matter of beginnings and ends, this matter of time and our experience of time. And so to do that this morning, we turn our attention to Revelation 22, the last chapter of the last book of the Bible. You know, the Bible too has a beginning and an end. The Bible too has a Genesis and a Revelation. It has a first chapter and a last chapter, a first verse and a last verse. The Bible has an "in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth," but it also has a "surely I come quickly, amen, even so come Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, amen," a beginning and an end. And it is fitting, therefore, that God, through the Holy Spirit, has inspired that this last chapter of the last book of the Bible should say something to us about beginnings and ends. That in this epilogue, as it were, this very last part of the book of Revelation, and therefore of the whole of God's inspired and infallible Word, God should give to us instruction, comfort, hope in regard to our experience of time. And now, as we experience it in a fallen and sinful world. This last part of the scriptures points our attention to the second coming of Christ, which is the end of all history. We consider the text then under the theme, "Behold, He comes quickly." First of all, let's notice the comforting promise. Secondly, the supporting assurance. Finally, the inspiring purpose. Who has spoken these words, children? The words of our text. "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Who spoke those words? Who is the speaker of the words of our text? The speaker is Jesus. The speaker is our Lord Jesus Christ. Clearly, He is the speaker. Although He may have spoken these words through an angel, nevertheless, the fact remains that the Lord Jesus, who was crucified, dead and buried, but who ascended into heaven and is now sitting at the right hand of God, and was sitting at the right hand of God when this book of Revelation was spoken to John, is the speaker of the words of the text. Already in Revelation 1, verse 1, we read about this book that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto the servant John. Jesus received this revelation from God. And Jesus Christ gave this revelation to John to write down in the book, the last book of the Bible. He is the one who speaks throughout this book. And he also now speaks directly in the text, "Behold, I come. Behold, I come quickly." And once again, in verse 20, "Surely I come quickly." What a comforting promise. A promise that comes from the lips of Christ Himself to us, that comes to you this morning, beloved, and to me. A promise in the text. Christ speaks to you personally, and He speaks to me personally, and He speaks to us collectively as His bride, as His beloved church. He says to you and to me this morning, as His beloved church, "Behold, I come. I come quickly. I come quickly for you. I come quickly in my love for you to draw you to myself, to consummate my marriage to you, and to dwell with you for all eternity. I come. Behold, I come. Behold, I come quickly." This, beloved, is our only true and solid comfort as we live in the midst of this world. At least in terms of looking into the future, this is our only comfort that He promises us, "Behold, I come, and I come quickly." The one to whom we belong in body and soul, in life and death, for time and eternity is coming. "Pay attention," He says to us. "Behold," He says to us, "listen and look and listen to this promise that I express to you. You must not fall asleep in this present time, but you must be awake and watchful, and you must listen. Behold, this is all important. This is utterly important. This ought to be the thing which drives and directs your life. This ought to be the promise which directs the course of your life. I come. I am coming quickly." Notice, beloved, that this promise of Christ is a sure and certain promise. He does not say to us in the text, "Behold, I am thinking of coming. Behold, I may or may not come. Behold, if it is possible, I will come. Behold, I am trying to come. Behold, I surely hope that I can come, and it is my greatest wish to come." But He says, "Behold, listen, I come." He asserts this in the strongest possible language. "I am coming." This is a fact. And this is how you ought to understand the future. This is a promise, beloved, that Christ is coming again in the future. He will come. In chapter 1, verse 7, we read, "Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen." He's coming. He's going to come. And He's going to come on the clouds of heaven. He's going to appear in the midst of the heavens that we see above us, pouring down the snow upon us on this Lord's Day morning. He's going to come in that sky, in those heavens, in those clouds, with His angels, with power and great glory. He says to us in the text, "Behold, I come. Behold, I'm coming with clouds. I will come." He directs our attention back to a vision that was given to John in chapter 19. He says now in this epilogue of the book of Revelation, that vision was speaking of me. That vision that John saw of a white horse appearing in heaven. And the rider of that white horse, his name was Faithful and True. And his eyes were as flames of fire. And he wore upon his head many crowns. And he appeared in heaven on that white horse, that horse of victory and conquest. And he came charging and galloping toward the earth, pursued by the armies of heaven, also riding on the backs of beautiful white horses. That was I, the Lord says in the text. That is me coming for you. That vision which speaks of him coming to the earth and taking the beast and the false prophet and casting them into the lake of fire and brimstone that burns forever and ever, destroying the enemies of himself and of his church. I am coming. I come quickly as the rider of the white horse to bring victory and salvation to my church. To you, my beloved bride, I'm coming for you. I'm coming to rescue you out of this present evil world. Behold, I come quickly. And he directs our attention then to chapter 21 and the first part of this chapter, where he reveals to us what he's going to do when he comes. Where John says, "And I looked and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven as a bride, prepared and adorned for her husband, to be received by her husband." And then John describes the beauty of that city that he sees. A city of gold. A city with 12 foundations of brilliant, gorgeous, precious gemstones of various kinds. A city with 12 gates made of pearls. Gates which are never closed day or night, but which are always open because there's no threat of enemies. A city which has a street of gold coursing through the midst of it. A street over which the tree of life stands on either side of the street, bearing 12 manner of fruits every month and leaves for the healing of the nations. A city in the midst of which is the throne of God and the Lamb, so that there is no sun there, no need of candles or lights, for God will be the light of that city, and the Lamb will be the sun of righteousness, giving light constantly to the inhabitants of that city, those whose names are written in the book of life. This holy city, this new Jerusalem, in all of its perfection and beauty and holiness and its ideal and final state, John says he sees coming down from heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And out of the throne is a river of water, of life, of which the inhabitants of that city may drink forever and ever. But above all, is that in the midst of that city is the throne of God and the Lamb. And that those who dwell in the midst of that city are those who dwell in a relationship of love and friendship and fellowship with the God of heaven and earth, and who will dwell with Him. And He will dwell with them, and He will say to them, "I am your God, and you are my people. And I will wipe away all of your tears, and I will take away all of your sorrow. There won't be any more death in this place, in this beautiful new heavens and new earth, where you, my city, will dwell with me forever. There will be no more sin. You will never sin again. You will be perfectly righteous through the blood of my Son. And you will be perfectly righteous in all of your thinking and all of your actions and all of your choices. You will dwell with me as my holy people forever and ever and ever." And Christ says to us, His beloved bride, now in the text, "Behold, I come quickly for you. to bring to pass the fullness of your salvation, to bring to its fulfillment the covenant of our God and the fullness of His kingdom, the full ingathering of my church, the perfection of my bride, the eternal marriage supper of the Lamb. Behold, I come quickly for you, my bride, to bring you to myself, to love you, to dwell with you in love forever. But he says, not only implied in what he says is that he will come to bring to pass this glorious future reality, which is our inheritance. But he says, behold, I am coming. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Behold, he is coming now, presently. And that's what he says in the text too. Behold, my people, behold, my church, I am coming for you. I was coming for you in 2016. All year long I was coming. You say, but no, he's sitting. He's sitting at the right hand of God. He's not coming, but he's waiting to come. Oh no, he says to us in the text, I'm coming. And I've been coming. And I will continue coming. I'm coming through all of the things which are taking place in this present time. I'm coming. I was coming through the political developments and upheavals of 2016. I was coming through the presidential election in the Philippines and in the United States and in other nations of the world. I'm coming through political changes, through transitions, through developments. I'm coming because through all these things, the kingdom of man is coming, and that kingdom must come first. The kingdom of the beast and of the false prophet must first rise and first come to pass as that final and greatest empire of man, in which man in all of his sin and evil and wickedness and in his greatest power, at the zenith of his influence, will have his time in the sun for a brief moment. I'm coming through all those things. I'm coming through the developments in the church, the falling away of many, the abounding lawlessness and wickedness that you saw increasing ever more in your land. I'm coming. I'm coming because I'm going to destroy that man of sin. I'm going to consume that man of sin with the brightness of my appearing. He's going to be utterly destroyed and cast into the lake of fire, so that it may be revealed when I come that God is God, and that God may be all in all, that He may receive all the glory. Behold, I come. I come quickly. Not slowly. Do not be mistaken. Not slowly. We just sang of that. 1,000 years goes by, and to God it is as one day. To us, 1,000 years seems so long. 10 centuries. And now 2 of those have gone by since our Lord went to heaven. 2 millennia. 20 centuries. How many lifetimes? But he says, behold, I come quickly. Do not be alarmed at what seems to you to be a long passage of time. He says to us in the text, that does not trouble you, does it? That does not shake your faith in my promise, does it? He says, I promise to you, my bride. I express to you my promise. I am coming, and I'm coming quickly. What I mean by that is this. That this is the last major item on my agenda. This is the last major thing left to be done in world history. And what I mean by this is that I am coming with ever increasing speed. He says to us, I'm in the driver's seat of history and I'm pushing my foot down on the gas pedal farther and farther. And he means by that, I will come as soon as I can, as soon as it is the appointed time of Almighty God and His eternal counsel. I'm coming quickly. Comforting promise. Our only comfort in regard to the future. But our Lord adds more words in the text, further to support and give us assurance of this promise. Further to support and give us the assurance that this promise is true, that this is the reality of the future of the world to come, that He will come, that He is coming quickly. For He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Already in chapter 1, verse 11, He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And in chapter 1, verse 17, and He laid His right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. And in chapter 2, verse 8, unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I am Alpha and Omega. Oh, we need that assurance desperately. And we need that assurance, beloved, of the fact that our Savior is the Alpha and Omega because of how often we walk by sight and not by faith in the midst of this world. Do you walk by sight sometimes, beloved? If we walk by sight, then we cannot know anything about the future. Then the future is only a misty mystery and unknown reality. We have never traveled to the future. We have never seen or experienced the future. We cannot know the future. We cannot know the future of the cosmos. In fact, we cannot know the Alpha of the cosmos or the Omega of the cosmos. We cannot really know how this cosmos came into being, nor can we know where this cosmos is going, or if and when there might be an end to it, or whether or not it simply goes on and on and on, that it always was and always will be, unless there is given to us a revelation from God, which we can hold on to by faith. If we only walk by sight, we must only be filled with the most frightful uncertainty. And we must only experience that there is vanity and futility and vexation of spirit. There is life and there is death and there is nothing more. Oh, we need this assurance, beloved, for our souls. As the bride of Christ still living in the midst of this world, this fallen and sinful world filled with demons and filled with Satan's presence who would tempt us to unbelief and doubt. We don't even know what tomorrow brings. We don't know whether today on the road as we're traveling in this weather that we will get into a car accident. And that will be the end of our life in this world. We don't know. And that can fill us, if we're walking by sight, beloved, with the most frightful uncertainty, even despair and utter hopelessness. What kind of trials do you have in your life at the moment? Maybe you look back and you remember a time in your life when you had such joy. A time in your life when you felt such deep peace and rest and contentment with the Lord's way. When you experience the peace that passes understanding, when you experience that true and only joy in the Lord, when you felt that comfort of belonging to your faithful Savior, but maybe now you're in a position. Maybe now you're in a place where you suffer. Maybe now you're in a place of loss. Maybe your beloved husband or wife has been snatched away. Maybe you're in a place of loneliness. Maybe you're in a place where you feel that no one cares about you. No one loves you. No one wants you. Maybe you feel rejected and despised and pushed to the margins of life in the church, of life in your family, of life in society. Maybe your spouse has abandoned you. Maybe your children have been lost through death, through apostasy, rebellion. And maybe now you look into the future. You look to tomorrow and you wonder, will it ever improve? Will my life ever improve? Will there ever be joy again? Will there ever be happiness again? Will I ever experience again that peace, that deep contentment, that joy? Such fearful uncertainty can trouble our souls when we think about tomorrow. And we know that the Lord says to us, take no thought for the morrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Nevertheless, sometimes our hearts are filled with that anxiety as we suffer the pain, the sorrow, and the struggles of this present time. We need this assurance. We need this rock upon which we can stand. We need this promise unto which we can hold. We need this word of God from the Lord Jesus Christ to us, the one who gave Himself for us on the cross in His great, great love. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. Your children know that Alpha and Omega are letters. If we would put it into English, we might say, the Lord is saying, I am A and Z. Because Alpha was the first letter of the Greek alphabet and Omega was the last letter. And we ought to pause there for just a moment too and ask ourselves, why does the Lord use the figure of letters? Children, what are letters? Letters are symbols and sounds, and when you put them together in a certain sequence, you can form words. And if you put words together in certain sequences, you can form sentences and you can express ideas. Letters form words which express ideas, truths, or falsehoods. But the focus in the text is truth. Words express truth. Jesus is telling us, reminding us in the text, that He is the Word of God. He is the truth. He is the revelation of the invisible God whom we cannot see. And if we walk by sight, we will never see. He is the revelation of the invisible, the living and the only true God who has created the heavens and the earth. And therefore, He is the rock on which we can stand. He is our sure promise. But emphatically, He wants to say to us in the text, and He does say to us, that He is the first and the last letter of the alphabet. And He explains that that is His emphasis in the rest of the verse when He says, I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. If you look back, I am there. If you look forward, there I am too. He is the first and the last in regard to time. The Lord Jesus Christ was the Alpha and the Omega of the year of our Lord 2016. On January 1, at midnight of last January, Christ was there, ushering in the new year. And at 11:59 p.m. on December 31, in a couple of weeks, Christ will be there. Christ will be there. He is the Omega of 2016, as He was its Alpha. He is its beginning and its end. And beloved, He is the Alpha and the Omega of your life. He was there when you entered this world, and He will be there when you depart from it. He's the Alpha and the Omega of our salvation. He was the author and finisher of our faith. He was the one who came into the world in the fullness of time about 2,000 years ago, and for 33 years lived and walked among men, and was the beginning, the Alpha of our salvation, when He laid down His life for us on the cross. When He so loved us, even though we so often reject Him and want nothing to do with Him, and in our first father that's what we did, and also in our lives that's what we do, when we push Him away and we would rather go in the ways of the world and the ways of sin. Nevertheless, though we so often do not want Him, He loved us so that He made the beginning of our salvation by giving Himself on the cross, by laying down His life and shedding His precious blood and suffering the vials of the wrath of God to satisfy His divine justice once for all. And arose from the dead as the victor over sin and death, as the conqueror of the grave, and ascended up into glory. He is the beginning of our salvation, but He's also the end. Just as He also begins that work of salvation in our hearts by quickening us together with Him, by instilling in our hearts the seed of regeneration, so He will guide us through this life to the end. He will preserve us and protect us and bring us to the Omega of our lives and bring us into glory. And that's not all, because He is the Omega of our salvation in this too, that when He returns, He will raise our bodies out of the cold grave, reunite them with our souls, and glorify us so that we are like unto His glorious body. He will be the Omega of our salvation. He's also the Alpha and the Omega of the whole of the created order. He was there at the dawn of time, in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. John 1 verse 3 says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was there in the beginning when all things were called into existence. Colossians 1 verse 16. All things were created by Him and for Him. Ephesians 1 verse 10, God has purposed to gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Therefore, He is God. He is saying to us in the text, I am your God. And this is the assurance that I give to you, that I do come quickly, that I do bring my reward with me, that I do give to you that eternal inheritance. I am God. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end of all things, the origin and the purpose and goal of all things. Beloved, what a comfort and assurance to us as we dwell in the midst of the world. If we look into the past, we know its origin, Christ. If we look back to the beginning and the dawn of time, we see standing there Christ. And if we look into the future, to the end of time, we see standing there Christ. We see Christ by faith standing there as the magnet to which all history attracts. We see Christ there at the end of time as the ocean into which the river of history flows. We see Christ there as the center of the target at which the arrow of history will inevitably strike. He's the Alpha and the Omega. All things flow from Him and to Him. We're made by Him and for Him. Therefore, too, beloved, we have comfort in our own lives. If we look back to our birth, to our conception and birth, we think not only of our mother, but we know that Christ was there, bringing us into this world. And when we look into the future, if we look to tomorrow, or the next day, or the end of our life, or death itself, we know Christ stands there, beckoning us, summoning us, drawing us to Himself. With open arms, my beloved children, come to me. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according as his work shall be. This is the purpose that he mentions to us in the text. And now he directs our attention back to chapter 20, to the vision that John saw when he says, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it. And I saw all the dead, small and great, rich and poor, wise and simple, standing before that great white throne. And I saw him who sat upon that throne opening a book and opening the books in which are recorded the works that all men ever committed and performed in their lives. Every single thought, every single desire, every single word that was spoken and every deed. All of the works revealed in those books which are now opened. I saw, John says, the last and final judgment of all men. The Lord comes quickly for His church, and He comes quickly to take His church to Himself through the final judgment and to give to us our reward. He comes with a reward. But we ought to understand that reward broadly, that reward includes both the blessedness of the inheritance that He will give freely to His church, but also it includes the wretchedness and the misery of everlasting damnation in hell, which He will give to those who rejected Him, which He will give to those whom God has eternally determined to condemnation. A reward He has with Him. A reward He takes with Him to give to every man according as his work shall be. And when that judge of all heaven and earth sits on His throne and opens the books, He will judge the ungodly according to their works. He will look at their works. And He will judge them according to those works. And those works will testify against them and show that God was just when He justly condemned them to destruction. The Christ will also judge His people. But when He looks at His people, He won't judge them on the basis of our works. When He looks upon His people, He will see the work that He did for us. And He will judge us righteous. Not because we did anything to deserve that determination, that verdict. You will judge us righteous because of the blood which He shed for us on the cross. And then He will judge us also according to our works. Oh yes, the works that God prepared for us before the foundation of the world, and the works which God gave us to perform, the works which He worked in us both to will and to do. And so, the Lord Jesus Christ will justify us merely of grace and impute to us His own perfect righteousness. And so, beloved, don't you see how inspiring that purpose is? Oh, the final judgment does not give us dread. When we look forward and know that He who comes quickly comes to judge, He comes with a reward, He comes with a recompense, He comes with vengeance, we are not filled with fear. For we know that that judge is our Lord, our Savior, who so loved us and gave Himself for us on the cross. And we know that when He comes to judge us, He comes only to express the verdict already passed upon us, righteous through the blood of the Lamb. And even the works that we performed were gifts of His grace to us that He worked in us to do. Don't you see how inspiring that is then? To live a life of good works? The Apostle John wrote, "He who has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure." He who has this hope doesn't say, "Well, then I will live however I please." He who has this hope loves to walk in righteousness. He who has this hope loves to purify himself, loves to crucify his old man of sin, loves to quicken the new man and live a life of conversion. He who has this hope strives to fight against the old man of sin, strives to live antithetically to the wicked world, strives to love his wife and to love her husband, strives to love his or her neighbor, to be a witness to the world, loves and seeks first the kingdom of God with all of his heart and soul, gives freely to the church and to the poor, loves and supports and prays for the mission of God in this present time, loves and supports the Christian schools. How inspiring! Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me, to give to every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Amen. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, what a marvelous, comforting promise, for which we thank Thee as we draw near to the end of another year. As we are at times in our lives conscious of our own end, of our own time in which we will depart from this world, time that we know not, and the whole future of our lives, which is an uncertainty in a certain respect. We thank Thee that Thou dost anchor our hearts and souls in the promise of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming quickly, who is the Alpha and the Omega of all things, who is with us always, and who so loved us that He gave Himself for us on the cross, and will come again to receive us to Himself for all eternity. In Christ's precious name alone do we pray. Amen.